Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Hey, 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 welcome back to episode 33 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's your boy Julian, back after a long holiday weekend. I actually enjoyed myself this holiday weekend, I'm very happy to say. I took some time to myself, I relaxed quite a bit, caught up with some friends. We'll get into all that later. I have to start with the biggest story in hip-hop currently, which is revolving someone that really is like the impetus for the name of this show and the reason why many people online know me. I'm talking, of course, about Jeffrey, Young Thug, better known as Young Thug. He is in some more hot water because a lot of leaks have been coming out from his court case about his testimony. And the man that called himself the, you know, anti-snitch, he kind of leveraged himself in the same way in which DJ Khaled positioned himself as it's number one or bust. Young Thug positioned himself as, I don't snitch, I'm like this guy, you'll never catch me like this. And now we're seeing, when that doesn't work out, we're seeing the truth of the situation, the alleged truth of a situation happen by way of some leaked audio. So let's read this here from a little article that I was able to find. This is from my good friends over at Complex. In unverified leaked audio, a man who appears to be Young Thug is asked about a series of reported crimes that his associates or former associates were allegedly involved in. During the nearly 2-hour clip, he name drops multiple people, including Pee Wee Roscoe, who was accused of shooting Lil Wayne's tour bus in 2015. Although the audio is reportedly 2 years old, Young Thug says in the clip that he doesn't know who shot up the bus. They said Roscoe, but I don't want to block out y'all's case by saying Roscoe ain't do that, he said at one point. Ooh, that's not good. The leaked audio is especially jarring for fans of Thug, considering he hasn't been shy about accusing people of being rats or snitching in the past. So kind of what I was alluding to. He has casually taken shots at several people, including Kid Cudi, who just, I feel like, just gets shots taken at him all the time for no reason, and Gunna, who has faced heavy scrutiny after accepting an Al Ford plea deal. Other hip-hop artists have also aligned themselves with Thug, including Lil Baby, Southside, who recently said he'll never work with Gunna out of respect for Young Thug. The audio is quite damning, pending it being truthful. Another thing that came out in the recording was Gunna said that he paid $50,000, was the amount that he said, for Gunna's album to go number one. At the time, Gunna's album was competing for the number one spot against The Weeknd's Dawn FM. Now, The Weeknd's Dawn FM have come out, you know, weeks prior to that. But in Gunna's first week, you know how important it is, especially for that look and that statistic, to go number one. Young Thug being one of, Gunna being one of Thug's artists at YSL. It's a great look for your younger talent to go number one, especially when they're in a competing spot and within, shots reach to do so. So Gunna, the Young Thug went ahead and paid for streams that was able to get Gunna to that number one spot. I've been very open about this stuff, and now more artists seem to be more open about this stuff as well. And publicly, a lot of what you see with your favorite artists is a facade. And I'm not saying that the Gunna's album wasn't great, but I'm saying if you're that close to flirting with number one, you're gonna put in the money it takes to get it to number one, because there's a lot that comes with that in terms of marketability, festival slotting, sizing of your venues for tour. Like, there are things that really matter when it comes to your, we like to call them in the industry, your one sheet, which just shows, like, here are your hits. Here's what you've not hits in terms of music, but here's what your hits are in terms of your career. Went number one selling album in the country for 2 weeks, 1 week, etc. Having that on your resume is a great look. So completely understand from a business perspective why Young Thug would do that, as does he, because obviously he did do that at one point. But to go ahead and, you know, behind Gunna's back and say that he did it as if it's not a known thing that people do, but also, bro, it's your decision to do that. So you knew what would come with it by choosing to do that. So don't act like Gunna's the corny one here when you're the person that went ahead and greenlit the expense to get that album to number one. I think that's lame. Like, you put him in that position, you put the money out for him on his behalf, which is a great thing to do and a nice thing to do for your artist. But now that it's like blown back, or like even on that leaked recording, you can hear in Gunna, in Thug's tone, that he's like kind of, you know, dissing Gunna. He's like, it wasn't going to go number one. Well, it's like, well, yeah, but like, you did the things that any good label owner would do, is to put him in a position to get that number one spot. So I mean, the more I hear, the more these recordings come out, the more shaky it looks like in the light for Thug in particular, mainly because he has positioned himself as this, you know, I'm the street guy, I don't snitch, I don't talk bad about my people. And more that's coming out, it's not looking good. Biggest question is, who is leaking this information? Is it coming from a lawyer? Someone that just has access to these files? Is this I would imagine Thug isn't involved, because these are pretty quite incriminating for him. They don't make him look any better in the light at all. It's putting a lot of other artists in an interesting way. 21 Savage's voice was on one of these recordings, but he's always cool, so he didn't say anything that made him look crazy at all. I do want to say, like, this Thug trial really has catapulted a fast rolling downfall of what people used to emulate about Atlanta. Let me articulate here. Atlanta is always looked at in the hip hop, if in the cities of major hip hop, as the city that always lifts each other up. They're super supportive. The rapper, the artists in Atlanta always support each other. They, you know, go to camps together. They, no matter what's going on, they always hold each other down. This has ripped the lid off that. And the Atlanta hip hop scene is much younger than the East Coast and West Coast and the other major cities, really those being those two. Meaning that the East Coast and West Coast have been around enough to already have those peaks as a community and then also tear each other apart. Atlanta, we're seeing, had a later rise. Let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, I know I'm pissing off a lot of older listeners here, but let's say starting in the Migos era, so like 2016, 17, when they're at their like top, obviously they were around prior to this. And then you're seeing Future as well, Thug coming into the picture. So all of these guys are now like peaking for the city, which has then gone global. And within the bounds, within the county lines of Atlanta, we're seeing, damn, these guys all fuck with each other. This is amazing. Da 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 da. And by way of this Thug case, we've seen the holes that are getting poked in these relationships. It's really easy to champion everybody and be like the man that loves your people when everybody's eating and everybody's doing well and succeeding. Now that there's a clear division, self-inflicted by way of, you know, this RICO case, we're seeing where the chips may have been falling a while ago before they've been exposed to us. So I'm really curious to see, because like this article states, and like we've known for quite some time, some artists such as Lil Baby and some producers like Southside have put like their stake in the ground and said, hey, I'm not working with this guy because he ratted. Laying claim to, okay, in this situation, Young Thug is our guy. But now what happens when these tapes come out and these new reports come out? What will their opinion change based on the new information that has been presented? And then how will audiences, which quite frankly, I'm not too concerned about how the audience reacts, because that they don't, there's not much to, they don't react in the way in which the artists do in the scene, the industry itself does. So let's not even concern ourselves with the audience. How will those in the South, in Atlanta in particular, react with these leaks and with this new information? We already saw a report, but Pee Wee Roscoe responded to Thug. I'm assuming we're going to see other responses as well. We're in this cycle of leak, responds, leak, respond. And we're going to see a changing of the guard, or at least, at the very least, a landscape change on who aligns with who and where the dust settles. I think Atlanta is very much like, if the analogy is your tidal wave just hit the shore and it's all like that muddy sand water that's getting kicked up on the shoreline, and we're still very much in that rush. We're in the tide. We need the waters to get pulled back. We need the full moon to rise, take everything out, and just see where everything falls. See what shells are populated over here. See what, you know, fish or whatever has gotten kicked off over here on this side of the water. We just need to be aware of where things fall, because right now I'm confused because it's happening in real time. And I'm very curious to see what the long-term ramifications of these leaks are, and if they will continue to come. I think it's really concerning that these are, you know, I thought, one would assume, sealed court recordings that are being leaked. So whoever is doing this, this is clearly against the law. So there has to be some, you know, legal ramifications for that situation in itself. But the more that this happens, the more it looks bad for the city as a whole. I don't even want to make this particularly about just Thug. And more, one more tidbit on that. Little Baby and QCP, Pierre, who's the founder, of QC, have unfollowed each other on Instagram. Not somebody that puts too much stake into those things, but in terms of optics, especially in hip-hop and entertainment, an Instagram follow is more or less like a cosign, or at least a doctrine of support. And by removing that, by both actively doing that, I always think it's funny when grown men tap that button and unfollow each other. It just never gets old to me. I think it's hilarious. But that's clearly another division that's been put in motion. So another thing just worth following, because QC and Baby at one point obviously were working together and close. So again, just something worth monitoring and something to keep close and just see how this affects the sound of Atlanta and the people in Atlanta that are aligned with each other. Let's stay on Division. No, not the group, whom I love and miss dearly. Shout out Daniel. Let's stay on divisiveness in the hip-hop industry. We're going to talk about Funk Flex and DJ Enough over at Hot 97. DJ Enough has left Hot 97 after 27 years of on the air. And I do have a personal story about DJ Enough, which I'll get to in a second. But at his time at Hot 97, it goes without saying, but it's my platform and I have to give him flowers. He, you know, broke artists. He broke tracks. He was Biggie's tour DJ. He's told many stories about that, but I also have heard personally from him. He's just a warm and welcome guy. For me, when I moved to New York and I started in this industry at Hot 97 as a writer, I basically said to them, hey, I want to do long form editorial artist interviews. Instead of you guys just like regurgitating the news headlines, let's give you like an opinion on, you know, music and culture and things that are currently happening. And at the time, the director, shout out, I don't want to say his name, I don't want to put him out there, but he's the man. I hope, I honestly wish him the best. Was like, yeah, sure, come on, do this with us. So I worked in the digital department and I was doing, basically following artists and just like doing long form editorial writing with them, kind of like a day in the life thing, like those like feature cover stories that you see on like a GQ or a Vanity Fair, which is always like a dream of mine. I would love to do those kind of pro editorial profiles. Some of the people I got to work with, I got to do an amazing one with Zaytoven. We did a sit down in a lobby of a hotel and I followed him for like an afternoon and I had a really great interview with him. Had a friend of mine was a photographer. He took some shots, put those photos in the interview. It was great. Moments like that really made my job, you know, it really made me feel fulfilled and like my voice mattered in the industry. But even before I was doing that, when I was still getting my footing in Hot 97, I'll never forget the first day I went to Hot 97, my first day in the station, because I would go in every day. I got there early. So the morning show was recording. So there was always a guest on. And at that time, it was, I think this was late 2017. Consequence was the first guest that I saw ever at Hot 97 in that station. And I'm like, oh my God, like it's Consequence, you know, I'm idolizing Kanye way before all this stuff happened. And he had Consequence was wearing his original Jesus Peace chain, the one that Kanye gave him. And I'm like, just staring at it. I'm like transfixed that something that, you know, Kanye made so famous for that camp is just staring. It's just catching the light and gleaming in my face. And I just couldn't believe it. It was very surreal. And it was Ebro, DJ Enough, Cons, and like Rosenberg, the rest, everyone that was there in the morning. And I'm just standing there like a fly on the wall, just like listening to a great conversation. And at one point I had been there hours before Consequence got there, and DJ Enough, Ebro was very nice, came up to me, spoke, but DJ Enough came up to me, shook my hand, and he was like, yeah, I just want to introduce myself. Like, and he's like, what are you doing here? And I told him, he's like, that's so cool, man. Like, wish you knew the best. Like, I'm always here to support you. You know, we love like great writers and people that contribute. And he couldn't know me from anybody, but he was just very welcoming and supportive. When I shook his hand, he said my name back to me. And there's like little things like that that you notice when somebody that has been in this scene and in this industry and doesn't owe a new kid, you know, anything. He really went out of his way to make me feel like I belonged in the building. And that stuck with me. I mean, this was nearly 10 years ago, and I still think about that. I believe I've said this to him years after that, how much of an impact, certainly when I left Hot 97, every time we run into each other, I'm always happy to catch up with enough and just talk about. He's a huge music nerd. It's really fun, really, really fun person to talk about music with. But he's also just a really sweet, like, nice, warm-hearted guy. And I will say, the video of him that TMZ got of him leaving the station doesn't look great. And clearly, he didn't leave on his terms. And there was a question about, the reporter had asked, hey, do you think Funk Flex had anything to do with this? And he said, most likely. Which is not my space to get into. But I knowing what I know about enough, I have belief in his gut feelings and probably what he thinks the matter of situations were, I would probably agree with as well. But that being said, I don't want to get too messy, but DJ Enough is a New York legend for sure, but just a radio legend in general, nearly 30 years on air, truly one of the best guys to touch radio, egoless. Just and if there is an ego, because every artist, every DJ has an ego, he didn't lead with it. He made you feel like, you know, you belonged. And I'm saying this from personal experience. And I know wherever he goes next, he'll be, you know, welcomed and well received, with, you know, arms wide open. Shout out Creed. But he deserves nothing but the best, and I really do wish him the best. And I'm sorry to see a chapter that was open for so long for you to close on a quite a sour note. And no one deserves that less than you, my friend. So I'm wishing you the best. And I'm sure we'll run into each other soon. So shout out to DJ Enough always. There are always signs that I'm getting old. And I came across a timeline the other day, and I can't get my mind off of it. Actually, coming off the heels of my time at Hot 97, this is someone that was at their peak when I was at Hot 97, I was writing quite a bit during the era in which this artist was speaking about. And I'm talking about Trippie Redd's recent clip of him saying how every new artist is trying to recreate that 2017 old school. Yes, old school 2017 feel. That vintage 2017 that we all talk about. And he's, you know, saying it in a way in which it's so funny how cyclical everything is, how life just kind of, everything just repeats itself. He's saying it in a way of like, you had to be there. You kids don't even understand. It's like, all right, man, like every era says this about everything. You had to be there when Chief Keef fucking dropped, you know, Don't Like, which is true. You had to be there. That shit was crazy. But it's the same thing that every generation spews. It just seems like now that 2017 era is having their moment. So which is fine, they're totally within the right to have that. Great music came out of that era, and it was a very disruptive time in hip-hop, for better or worse. Unfortunately, we lost quite a few of those artists in that process from that era, like Lil Peep, X. I know I'm blanking on quite a few of those names, but a lot of people fell to drugs in that time. I was very much pro party drug scene. And it was a really disruptive time in music in the best way possible. They kind of kicked in the door and made their own thing. But it is funny to see someone like Trippie Redd, who, how old is Trippie Redd? I mean, let's be really honest here. I know I'm not an old head, but if we're talking in the context of this conversation, I am. This dude, yeah, Trippie Redd, the man reminiscing on the vintage time of 2017 is at a ripe age of 26 years old. He's 26. You're a kid. You're still a kid. You literally are the new kid still. Anyway, I mean, it's testament to him for how long he's been involved with music and how relevant he's been, and how young he really made a name for himself. But I love it. This kid's 26 talking about, you know, I'm the old man now, and they're trying to recreate that feeling. To his point though, he's obviously a little more involved than I am on that artist front, but I think everybody looks to that generation ahead of them and those that, you know, it just kind of stacks onto each other like an onion. And we look for those artists or those moments that, damn, like that Corday Juice WRLD freestyle. Ah, God, I can imagine being on that tour bus and being a part of that. I want to recreate something like that. Like, being an artist is drawing inspiration while being innovative at the same time. So let the new kids draw inspiration from iconic moments that, congrats, Trippy, you played a part in creating as well. Like, there's nothing wrong with a kid that's, you know, learning, not learning, but like younger in his rap career that maybe on the precipice of becoming a big artist, looking at one of your videos or like seeing an old clip of you and being like, I want to fucking do that. Because you were that kid for somebody one day at one point. So congrats. Now your impact is inspiring others to do the very thing in which you were able to do. So that's a good thing. I don't think we need to make this a negative. I think you are in a great position. You have a kid with Koi. Congrats. Like you're in different mode. You're in dad mode. You're an old head, man. You're 26, bro. You're washed. It's over. I mean, you got to retire at this point. What's next? You know, BlackRock? I mean, you got to do something else. You got to pivot. So, yeah, man, it's just you're great. Find a kid that you want to mentor. I think that's how you, if you want to do that, if you want to give it back, find a kid you want to mentor, go down that road. But don't, you know, don't shit on the kids just for trying to get their bearings together. Okay, a couple more topics before we get out of here. Trumpito has been found tragically alive. He was seen yesterday at his golf course, which is honestly probably the first place they should have looked for him. I believe it was in DC. He had a Trump white hat on. Of course, it's like a relatively blurry photo. It's amazing how the phone that I have, the newest iPhone, this camera can zoom in, you know, 20 times and it's crystal clear. But it's amazing how the White House and the most followed, probably photographed man in the world over the last 10 years, every photo of these people is shitty, grainy, and trash, like 1080p quality. Why can't we get like an accurate, clear shot of these people? Because now we're seeing this one photo. Now everybody's online saying this isn't him. It's fake. It's always the same arguments. Even with Biden, this is no different than what they did with Biden. Look behind the ears. Like, it's fake. It's a mask. It's a body double. Look at his hands. Is there any more scarring on his hands? Is he getting adrenochrome shots? Which he may. Look at all that makeup on him, which is also true. But it's the craziest thing about this, guys, that you have to remember every time these conversations happen. Remember, this all started because Trump wasn't seen for a few days following that photo of his hand where it was clearly bruised and in a little tattered and blue, covered in makeup. And we're seeing the sitting U.S. president. This is now the second time in a row we went from Biden to Trump, our back-to-back presidents, where we have to ponder if they're still alive, if the person that is a sitting U.S. president is alive. That's the state in which those are the kind of people we give the reins to in this country, where we legit have to wonder, because homie had no plans or meetings on the Friday or whatever, and then he wasn't seen for a couple days. We're like, well, he's dead. What if we just put somebody that wasn't 1,000 years old into that office? Like, the fact that we're celebrating, some whatever. I'm not even here to play that whole, like, I hope he's dead. Even whatever. I'm just, the fact that our reality is the leader of the free world that could possibly be dead. The fact that that's like a entertained news cycle from like CNN, even to Fox News and other, other broadcasts, is insane. That we just don't have like a normal, just like a younger, healthy guy in office. We're so content with just putting these corpses in the office and just praying that they don't die, or praying that they do die. That's how ridiculous it is. You got one side that's like, I hope he's fucking dead. The other side like, I hope he holds on until the next election. That's how we're, you know, deciding our elections now. It's the saddest thing. It's a really shitty cycle to get into, and I hope we can break it. But it doesn't look like it. I mean, if he goes out the door, then yeah, J.D. Vance would take the helm, which isn't great by any means. I'm not here to get into a deep dive of that. But at least age-wise, big improvement, big drop in age. That's good. You know, we wouldn't have to worry because we didn't see Vance for a day. If he, you know, dropped dead, we wouldn't have those same fears or cheers, whatever you want to say. Democrats have nobody, so I guess they'll figure out who they want to put in that seat, but hopefully they're not 85 or 100, unless it's Bernie, man. Fuck it, run Bernie back. We snubbed him last time. Give him a damn fair chance. All right, before we get out of here, let's talk about, I've been watching a bunch of tennis. I'm a big fan of tennis. I don't think I ever got to speak about this in the previous pod, but I'm a big tennis fan. I love the U.S. Open in particular for obvious reasons. Biggest tournament in my city. It's such a beautiful event down to the, I just love how the courts look. That blue is so, so clean. It's so cool. The Honey Deuce, and tennis is, which is the drink, the famous drink. Tennis has become increasingly more and more diverse over the years. I'm someone that my brother played lacrosse in college, and being in like those like whiter preppy sports circles up close and seeing like minorities and like integration kind of happening in real time and kind of being at like the first turn of that is pretty cool. So I love seeing this happen in tennis with, you know, some of my favorite players. I'm a big Tiafoe fan. He is out of the tournament. Unfortunately, he did lose. But even, you know, the we're looking at, I watched Naomi Osaka and Coco Gauff play today, which was incredible. Naomi convincingly handled Coco, but Coco's so young, as is Naomi, but they both look great. I mean, Naomi came back and played amazing after, you know, having a kid, and there's all these questions about her mental health and her career, and will her body ever be the same? Will she ever get back to her championship form? She beats Coco today 6-3, 6-2. Coco, the third-ranked women in tennis. Naomi's sitting at the 21 spot. Obviously, after this match, she'll get pushed up into the top 20. Hopefully, she'll crack the top 10, depending on how this forecast the rest of the tournament looks like here at the U.S. Open in Arthur Ashe. But it's just exciting to see like these, you know, mixed women and black women in particular just dominate a sport that historically has never opened the door for them or ever welcomed them. And not just doing well, but also getting support from the fans. What's nice is we're seemingly, at least publicly, past the days of you may be in the door, but you're still not welcomed here amongst us as people. So like when Jackie Robinson would play, he would get like trashed on at him or like, you know, vitriol and ridiculed by the fans and just like never felt safe. And with Naomi and Coco Gauff in particular, we're seeing like the crowd give them the warmest reception and just like a lot of love and adoration and praise. And what I do love is the sportsmanship of tennis, where afterwards when they'd go to the sidelines and sign the balls and the whatever memorabilia that the little kids have. And then you're looking at the kids and it's, you know, little black girls and little black boys and just like mixed kids. And it's like, these are like core memory moments that I'm certain in 15, 20 years time, one of those kids will be on that court doing the exact same thing that they're doing. So it's just cool to see that exposure. The more you get older and the more you think about having kids, like, and just what my parents would always used to say to me is, exposure is everything. The more that you're exposed to, the more that you see, the better you are, the better you become as a person, the more holistic and rounded view you have on the world. So it's really great to see these spaces where it used to just be purely white faces for white people, by white people, supporting white people, are becoming increasingly diverse with that same level of support. So it's great. I think tennis, I've been wanting to play in the city. It's become increasingly tough to get court time. And my shoulder, obviously, I'm still out. Oh, good news on that. I had my first weight training session last week. I went to the gym. My PT, my physical therapist, told me I can do certain movements. It's not worth getting into. But basically, with my arm lower in position, which means basically I can do curls, triceps, and some back positions, which honestly is like all I care to do right now anyway, because I feel I've lost like 8 pounds of muscle, which is trash. And I can do like an ab circuit again, which is great. Even planking in my shoulder can take. I'm still 2 to 3 weeks away from actually playing hoop and getting on the court. She has not cleared me for that, and I asked her if I could go there and shoot around. She said, "You're fucking crazy." She goes, "I know you by now, you can't do that," which she is totally right. But hoping to get cleared for that. But in the meantime, I gotta bulk up again. So I'm back hitting the gym. I'm grocery shopping again. This is week 3 of me buying groceries. I have a fridge full of groceries, which is, you know, becoming a regular occurrence over here at the Delgado household. Come on. Real adult shit. Your boy's maturing. I do want to give a shout out to, let me pull up his Instagram. This is another week, guys, another week of me just walking around. On Saturday, I got 25,000 steps in. I was walking around with a good friend of mine. Shout out Nima. He's a dear friend of mine who's also just like, he's a amazing guy, but he's also a commercial director. He did this really cool shoot. He directed a shoot for Sydney Sweeney her new Baskin Robbins campaign. And then he also did a Verizon commercial, I believe it was, with Paige Beckers. And he does this really cool thing where he takes these call sheets. And what the call sheet is, it's like everybody that's working on the job with their times and like everybody's locations, basically like your map for the day of like what's going on and who's who on a set. Every time I get a modeling gig, I get sent a call sheet. It's just to let me know location, who's important, who do I need to talk to, etc. And he frames them. He goes to this spot in Soho and gets them framed all the same way. And he has all the talents sign them. So Sydney signed hers. Paige Beckers signed hers. I'm blanking on a few other people that he's worked with. He's also done a commercial recently with Demi Lovato. She did not sign hers. He didn't ask. It was whatever. It's not worth getting into. But point is, really cool tradition. And we were walking all over the city. And it was super cool. But in doing so, I did get stopped a few times. And I want to give a shout out to my dog, Burgod, who I was walking by Lafayette and Bleecker outside the Kith store there. I was not going to Kith. I was just walking by. And he, you know, said, oh, yo, Julian, what's good? He was like, talk for a minute. He was with a couple of homies. They were eating ice cream. Pause. Ice cream did look great, though. And I went on his Instagram because he took a photo with me and posted on a story. And I'm looking at his page. And he got married on May 10th. His wife looks beautiful. She's this dress is incredible. I peeped the ring. My man Dunn did well. But it looks like it was a beautiful reception. And I just want to give him a shout out. I hope he's still listening to the end of the episode. Shout out to him and congrats on the marriage, man. It's incredible. Real New York kid, which is pretty awesome. This morning I got stopped over on, I'm not just going to give out the streets and everything, but anyway, in my neighborhood. Really nice guy. It's such a positive reception, which I really love. So keep it up. It's a good time every time. I love talking to everybody. It's kind of why I do this. Talk to myself, to them greater on talk to you. That is all that I have to say today. I still got a little bit of time. The sun is out for about another hour and a half, maybe 2 hours here in New York City. I'm going to probably export this and then I might try to go say hi to some friends, catch some friends. The UNC Bill Belichick's Tar Heels play tonight. Might go peep that with the homie. But yeah, it's a great episode, guys. I was going to see Caught Stealing today. I did not, but I will probably report on that. I have to see Caught Stealing. I have to see Highs to Lows, and I have to see The Roses, or the three movies I want to see. Probably not all during this week. That's a lot of movies. I just don't have the time to do that, but those are the next three films I want to see, and I will report back. And The New Conjuring. So I guess I have four to do. That's my homework for myself. As always, thank you all for tuning in. It's episode 33, Something Wrong With The Podcast. I love you. Deuces. Something wrong with the pussy.